Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. I'm looking at an article that was published in the Deseret News back on June 12, 2012, and it was titled, Andy Reid, Julianne Hough, I believe is how she pronounced her name, and if it's wrong, I apologize. But Julianne Hough, Among Mormons Talking About Mormonism. It started off by saying several Latter-day Saints, from Philadelphia Eagles football coach Andy Reid to BYU religion professor Robert L. Millett to singer, dancer, actress Julianne Hough, have been talking about Mormonism lately, trying to explain and even defend the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Each has done so in his or her own way. Reid hosted a community symposium at an LDS meeting house in Philadelphia recently. His intent, he said, was to respond to the, quote, unprecedented increase in curiosity about Mormons, end quote, and try to clear up, quote, a lot of misconceptions about Mormonism, end quote. Now, when I read this, Eric, the thought comes to my mind, naturally, Mormons have every right and should be explaining what they believe and even defending what they believe against what are so-called misconceptions. But doesn't it seem odd that this seems to be the job of a lot of Latter-day Saints over the past several years? I know now the spotlight is on Mormonism because of the election, but Mormons have been doing this for a long time. They're always bemoaning the fact that there's so much misunderstanding out there and so many misconceptions. Of course, that raises the question, where are these misconceptions really coming from? And as we have talked about several times in these shows, lots of times the misconceptions come right out of the Mormon Church itself because they don't do a very good job explaining what the leadership wants the membership to believe. Would you agree?
Well, I think you have to, and we did a series of shows on Mormonism 101 FAQ that's found on the Newsroom website, an official LDS website, and in that they were chastising the journalists for not getting it right. Mm-hmm. And so they listed out the questions that they felt that journalists ought to know the answers to, and in a paragraph or two, they would try to answer these common questions like polygamy, like do Mormons believe they'll have their own planets, those kinds of issues. And as we covered in our radio shows, it was more confusing with their answers than what had really been taught in the church or even found in their current manuals.
And that's what made it so confusing because, for instance, in the one that you brought up, do Mormons believe they're going to get their own planets? No. That was the answer. Then it went on to say that whatever you might have read about this issue was just based in speculation. Well, to have a speculation out there would certainly cause some confusion, wouldn't it? It even becomes even more confusing when you call it speculation, because when you read the statements of Mormon leaders who talked about Mormons getting their own worlds or earths or kingdoms, and those were synonyms that are often used, they don't really use the word planets a lot, but they do use worlds and earths, and many Mormon leaders have said that that is exactly what an exalted Mormon is going to get. So when the Mormon Church says no, and then says whatever comments you may have read were based merely in speculation, of course that's going to cause confusion because the people that were doing the alleged speculating are the very people in the Mormon Church who have the authority to expound what the Mormon Church really teaches on these subjects. So you wonder why there's so many misconceptions out there. It's coming from them.
Well, and there are two problems with that whole idea of what the church is trying to say. People are not understanding us, and they're saying speculation on something as documented as many worlds, and Mormons being able to have it their own world. The leaders did teach it. That's very well documented. And so if they did teach it, and you're going to say that's speculation, then should you trust those leaders? If you can't trust the leaders back then because they were speculating, how do we know that they are not speculating today on doctrines that are leading people either to heaven or to hell?
Well, because there's always this plausible deniability. We saw that with a speech we talked about in an earlier broadcast from Christofferson in the Mormon Church in a general conference message. One minute he says, yes, you need to trust these guys. The next minute, well, they're not always saying things that are considered binding or authoritative. What are we supposed to do with this? This is the only church in the world, folks, that has scripture that is not authoritative.
Or leaders that are not authoritative.
Well, when they
either.
Speak, that's supposed to be scripture, but yet they're told that, well, it's not always binding or authoritative. Well, no wonder there's confusion out there.
Not only did the leaders teach it, but the current manuals had teachings such as the idea of worlds. And so
Gospel Fundamentals, which is a current manual, and Presidents of the Church.
You can buy those today.
In fact, I bought my copy on just May 24th, and during the same time period that they were denying that they even taught that exalted Mormons were going to get their own
words. So there's the answer to the question. That's why it's confusing.
So then you have lay people like Andy Reid trying to put panels together to try to clarify. He has no priesthood authority to clarify. He's not a leader in the Mormon Church. But yet he's trying to explain some of these misconceptions, probably having his panel make even more things that are going to be misconstrued. The article goes on to talk about, while Reid was hosting his symposium in Philadelphia, Dr. Robert L. Millett from BYU, was taking his shot at answering the question, are Mormons Christian, for readers of the Washington Post. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is built upon the person, power, and teachings of Jesus Christ, Millett wrote. He is our King, our Lord, and our God. You see, that becomes confusing because one of the big controversies that we have had with the LDS Church is, though yes, they use the name of Jesus, they talk about a person named Jesus, but when you say that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is built upon the person, power, and teachings of Jesus Christ, this is where we go, no, excuse me, that's where we have our differences. We don't believe that you really are following the things that Jesus said. For one, if you were following the things that Jesus said, you would not believe in multiple gods. You would not believe that you could become a god. These are some of the things that bother us. So he goes over this with this big, huge, broad brush, but we believe in Jesus, and we're supposed to assume then that you're basically in tune with what Christians have believed for centuries? No, that's not how it works. And besides, if the Mormon Church really is built upon the person, power, and teachings of Jesus Christ, why do they excommunicate so many people who lose faith in Joseph Smith? And we know many who have left the Mormon Church still holding on to some type of faith in Jesus, whatever it may be at that time, but they've lost faith in Joseph Smith, and that's the death knell of your membership, because you can't even go into the temple unless you believe in what they call the restored gospel that goes through Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement.
Well, it makes you wonder, who is the Messiah in Mormonism?
Well, let's be serious. If you don't believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, divinely called and appointed, that is a big requirement for exaltation. And Mormons have taught that Joseph Smith is going to have some say as to what level of kingdom people are going to end up in the next life.
And they may not worship Joseph Smith on the outside, but what you're telling me there is they really are worshiping Joseph Smith over Jesus Christ.
Well, I think they would probably get really nervous over the word, or worship, excuse me. But certainly they hold him in such a high regard that makes us very uncomfortable.
But if you can reject Jesus but not Joseph Smith and still stay in the church, that to me,
right.
I don't care what it is. I'm going to say that's worship.
Yeah. Millett goes on to say in this article, still he said, because Mormons do not hold to the decisions and formulations of the post-biblical church councils, and because we believe in an expanded canon of scripture, some do not consider us to be part of Orthodox Christianity. They are correct, Millett wrote. The problem I have with this statement is he is giving the usual impression that the post-biblical church councils were somehow always unbiblical in their decisions. And this is where we have been responding many times, and Christian church scholars have been responding many times to the accusations made by LDS leaders over the years, that that's not exactly true. Don't give the impression that just because there was a post-biblical church council, that somehow their decisions that were rendered in those councils were unbiblical. They were not. They were there to define what the Bible had to say in response to some of the heresies that were being raised during that time.
Well, we see the first council in Acts chapter 15, the Council of Jerusalem, it was called, and they were dealing with this idea of the Judaizers and circumcision, should they have to be circumcised in order to become a Christian, and that was a big issue. In the, as you mentioned, in the 4th century, we had the Council of Nicaea, 325, where they got together to determine whether or not Arius was correct in saying that Jesus was just a created being, or was he God Almighty? And then the Council in 381, called the Council of Constantinople, wrapped up the issue because the Holy Spirit was dealt with, and Macedonianism was a heresy that had to have an answer to. So those councils were very important for us.
Millett goes on, is quoted in this article as saying, "We believe a Christian is one who follows Jesus. For us, one is a Christian not simply because he or she possesses a correct theology. One's Christian faith ought to be manifest in the way he speaks to and treats others." I would agree to a certain extent on that. However, he kind of downplays the importance of correct theology. We're not saying that a person has to be absolutely 100% correct in their theology. But just to simply say that a Christian is someone who just emulates some of the actions of Jesus does not necessarily make you a Christian either, because there are a lot of atheists who probably live a life that looks very close to what Jesus lived as far as his morality is concerned. It's not moralism, folks. It's much more than that. So I think this kind of is also a simplistic response. If you're really following Jesus, you have to be following his teachings. And there are certain core teachings that cannot be ignored. There are certain core teachings that his apostles taught that cannot be ignored. That is the argument here, because we look at Mormonism and we see that at its very core, it denies or distorts the basic teachings of the Christian faith. And this is why it is going to be continually put under the spotlight and to be criticized as a non-Christian organization.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, corresponds to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.